Good morning and welcome to Nassau Presbyterian. Though we are not on Nassau Street this morning, this is still our church. These are our people, and we are here to worship the God who collects, who invites, and who accepts us. It is by God's act of collecting, inviting, and accepting that we become the church. The beautiful, adorned bride, wherever, whenever we are. It's an honor to be in this proud and noble pulpit in this historic campus. Many of you know that I was a student here at Princeton Seminary for 9 years. I came frequently to this chapel because I needed it. I was thirsty. It's a strange and true reality that even though I was reading and studying the Bible frequently and carefully, even though I was surrounded by colleagues and professors, some of whom were doing the same, even though I was saturating in myself in great works of theology, even though there were weeks, months, semesters, years where I was praying every minute of my life, there's something that I found here that wasn't anywhere else on campus. I was thirsty. We've got a lovely batch of confirmands this morning, ninth graders. They too have had some thirst. We've spent the year together eating some tacos, eating some pizza, talking about scripture, writing their short history with the church, writing a statement of faith. Isaac had his first highly caffeinated energy drink that kept him up many, many hours after the retreat. They're thirsty. They've been searching. Those statements, those histories of the church will form the spine of my sermon. It's a blessing to be able to share those with you. It's been the leadership team, Annalise, Thomas, Sydney, Felipe, Byron. We've gotten to hear these. The staff has gotten to hear them. Session has gotten to listen, to read them. At session the other night, somebody held up the packet and said, "These give me hope." From a student, I moved further into life with an increasingly cynical view of the church. As I witnessed and learned more and more about the atrocities committed in the name of Jesus and evangelicalism, I wanted less and less to associate with Christianity. In my mind, the love in the name of Jesus could not outweigh acts of violence and hate. Where are we to go when the world is full of hate? Where are we to go when the church is full of the world's hate? And this might be the hardest line of my sermon. Where are we to go when the world is full of the church's hate? A couple of years ago, writes a student, I felt as though I was sometimes disconnected from God, because I felt as though I couldn't hear his voice. For a while, I felt as though this voice I was trying so hard to find was never reaching out. I even questioned the existence of God in my life. I felt sometimes as though being Christian was more of a persona to adopt. Where are we to go when we are alone? When the truth about ourselves that we so desperately need to hear echoes with silence? Where are we to go when we don't want to be false, but we just don't know where to find the truth? At first, writes another, I almost felt lost with so many seemingly impossible concepts shown to me, concepts like the Holy Trinity, angels and archangels, and many, many confusing parts of the Bible that I would have never thought were actually even in there before. Where are we to go when we turn to the Bible for honest answers and we only find things that leave us feeling more dazed and confused? A knee injury, a torn ACL, this froze parts of my life for weeks on end. During the endless hours laying in my bed doing nothing, I had many thoughts and questions. Among these many questions and thoughts running through my head, one seemed to never want to exit my already full head. Why me? What's the point? Where are we to go when solitude, loneliness, injury, pain leave us stuck in our heads, praying for answers that just don't come? I still remember the first day I walked into that bright, colored room downstairs. I was so nervous, and I hid under the table almost the whole time. Where are we to go? When the places that other people convince us to go to for answers just make us want to crawl under the table and hide. In the past couple years, I had a cousin who decided to stop going to church for a variety of reasons. I had really looked up to this person, and it made me challenge my faith in God because I just assumed they were right and I wanted to be like them. Where are we to go when the ones we trust stop going? Should we still go? Another question I have: how do I know if I will get into heaven or not? And what happens if I go to hell? This question scares me the most of all the questions I have. Even if I feel like I'm following all of the church's rules and living faithfully to God, there's still a fear in the back of my mind that I'm not doing enough. Where do we go to calm our fears, especially when our fears are that nothing we can do will calm our fears? At first, going to church was tedious. The only kids there were me and my sister. The sermons were in Taiwanese, and immediately after, we had Chinese school for 45 minutes. The members of our church cared and loved for us, but there was no one to talk to. We got home and went to bed exhausted. Where do we go when the things that are supposed to bring us life and guidance are tedious, incomprehensible, and leave us in bed flopping exhaustion? Throughout my whole life, I have struggled with the idea of faith. Up until this year, I couldn't understand how God's plan could be filled with such pain and death. I felt empty, just a shell of a person. I was only half of what I was supposed to be. Where do we go when there isn't even enough of a me to get myself anywhere? When I'm a cracked open, half shell, stunned and bleeding, scared and scarred child? Where do we go? So welcome to the 2025 confirmation class at Nassau Presbyterian. They're quite a bunch, eh? Let's just say they're a thirsty bunch. For those are the questions, the holes, the lives, the hurts of Nico, Avery, Braden, Sterling, Hannah, Lexi, Isaac, Luke, and Hadley. And confirmands, though you know this church pretty well, welcome to Nassau Presbyterian Church. And you know what? They know exactly how you feel. Perhaps that is what John, the receiver of this strange and beautiful revelation, also felt. Abandoned as an exile on a sun-bleached island, Patmos, John no doubt felt lost, hurt, alone, crushed. Patmos, a rocky outcrop baking in the Mediterranean. I imagine John had a lot to deal with. He might have even had other prisoners with which to contend. It might have been a sort of Lord of the Flies, Hunger Games, Squid Game, Gladiator, dystopia, reality show, but one that showed a little too much how brutal reality can be. Where can we go? John, as a prisoner, may have found a cave. There is one on Patmos that houses a church, the supposed site of the revelation. Of course, he might have been fleeing that very same cave. He only tells us, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Where can we go? What if the truth is that there is nowhere to go? What if we must outrageously and against all reason await miracle, await revelation, await Jesus? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." That one seated on the throne, that one who makes all things new, that loud voice, who is it? You may notice that often at Nassau we replace masculine pronouns, he, him, his, of Scripture with God, the Lord, or the One. I've not done that in this passage because that he, that himself, that his, it's not a generic masculine. It's not a bodiless, non-biological, phantasmal, immaterial male idea. It's not either the patriarchal, omnipotent father. It's the one born of Mary. It's the one who was child, born son. It's Jesus Christ, the one who in the first chapter of Revelation says, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive. I have the keys of death and of Hades." Where can we go? Where did our confirmands go? Well, they went to a building down the street, but we're not in that building. The where has changed. What has changed with our confirmands? Maybe the only way to put it is that they met Jesus. Or more accurately, Jesus, the one who descends from heaven, met them. Isaac. A little bit ago, I came to the conclusion that confirmation was confirming that I didn't have to do anything. Because Jesus already died for my sins. That's probably a good thing because I'm lazy and I wouldn't have done anything anyways. All jokes aside, he writes, I'm so grateful that Jesus died for my sins and would not know where I would be without him. Nico, at the same time, I started listening to Kendrick Lamar. The album begins with a soundbite of praying, asking for forgiveness. At the end of the album, this is explained by Lamar, who runs into a woman who teaches him about Jesus, relighting his interest in religion. This was another example of the changing power of Jesus' love, and it's finally what ended my cynicism. There will always be hate in the world, but truly knowing and finding Jesus in any form can be incredibly valuable. Avery. But God rescued me and brought me back to the flock of sheep. I discovered to me, God is not always a voice that appears in my head. I believe that God's love is sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is the embodiment of the love of God, she writes. Jesus' words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," are the words that define the concept of God's love. To me, Christianity is not just an organized religion, but an individual relationship with Jesus. Braden. And Braden's not here with us today. His crew team qualified for nationals, so we confirmed him on Thursday night at the session meeting. Braden, what was I actually so interested in? I realized that while I may take ideas from other denominations, Christ is simply all that matters. Thus, I see myself as a Christian in the church, not a non-denominational, but using many ideas at once based off many points of view. I want to join the church to continue and develop my walk with Christ. Sterling, why me? What's the point? What is God trying to teach me through this? The conclusion I came to was this. I have not the slightest hint of an idea, and that is perfectly okay. Faith is trusting in God, and unlike the fantastic knights of old, he writes, admitting that you may have no idea what he wants for you to do, but knowing that by having faith in him, you will be able to accomplish what he wants you to do. Hannah, when Jesus died for us, he did it out of love. Love means God. One of my favorite Bible quotes is, "Love never fails." I believe this could not be more true. In my life, love is all around me. For example, I still have all those letters. And I believe those letters are one of the many ways God has reminded me of his love. So in a weird way, she writes, this brought me closer to God and only made me realize how much I loved being in the church. Lexi, God is real. Jesus is real. And most importantly, faith is real. Why even question the truth when I know the love I feel is real? It truly does not matter if Christianity is the correct religion to me. It's my belief. And if I was the only one on this planet to believe in Jesus, I would still know that following God is sown into every cell of my being. Luke, he who spoke creation into existence and formed man from the dust and breathed life into him, he who owns cattle on a thousand hills, is Lord and maker of all. Tried unjustly in the dead of night, flogged and beaten in the Roman halls, crucified for my sins. Because of this astounding and unconditional grace to me, I will try to live day to day serving others, to show a small portion of the love that was shown to me through Christ Jesus with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Hadley, I then realized that nowhere does it say that God promises ease. He is constantly testing our faith and doing things that bring us closer to him. I can now say that I have full faith and believe not just because my family does, but because I do. I don't just have faith. I need it. I feel lost without it, and it makes me feel like a full person. This is what I believe, she says. I believe in a loving, selfless, understanding, and forgiving God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was born of the Virgin Mary to spread the word. He was crucified, killed, buried, and rose again. He taught us how to be faithful. He taught us how to treat others. See, the home of God is among these mortals. He is dwelling with them. They are his people. God himself is with them and is their God. He is wiping away the tears from their eyes. Someday, death will be no more. Someday, all mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For these first things will have passed away. Confirmands, Nassau, world, hear the good news. Jesus Christ is the Alpha. Before we were, he was. He chose to send himself into the depths of all the darkness that is not God, choosing himself for rejection, abandonment, loneliness, flesh, and all the pain and death that comes with betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion. But Christ has done this so that we might have his spot at the table, his inheritance as God's beloved, his grace and reconciliation as one equal to God. Confirmands, Nassau world, hear the good news. Jesus Christ is the Omega. All rivers flow to the sea. All rocks roll to the ground. All lives are being drawn into this irresistible love. We are bound for a new Jerusalem, this no more dying there, this all things made new. World, Nassau, look to these confirmands. For to these thirsty, Christ has given water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. They confirm it. It is done.